Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and today is February 7th, 2024. So thanks so much for listening in today. Got a very special guest today, a very professional educator named Emily Cook, who was a classroom educator for a number of years and then was switched over to the industry. And she works for the company now called Bloom, which is a company I was researching. It's Bloom, B-L-U-U-M. And if you want to learn more, it's linked right here on the show. But what struck me interesting was that they call themselves, if I may, they're a technology company, but they call themselves a learning catalyst. And that's on the front page of their website. That struck me. That's something unusual. I want to hear more about it. So I invited Emily on, and she'll be with me in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about emerging ed technology, helping to solve a lot of district challenges that are just now coming up. You know, as we start peeling away the onion, the layers get thicker and thicker and thicker for some reason. And that's what's happening with technology. It all works. It's all good. But chalk was a lot easier to work with. Okay. So we're going to find out more about what's going on and how the Bloom company works to help you, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And we got a lot of good stuff going on over there. Our Equity Awards program, our new issue of our magazine, which is the online journal, Equity and Access, and all of our podcasts are over there. So please go over. Everything's free for everybody over at ace-ed.org. We're proud of our website, and I'm proud to have Emily here. Emily, my name's Larry. Good morning to you.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Good morning.
Well, I'm fine, and I noticed something here. I noticed the 619 area code calling from. Are you in California today?
Where are you? I am. I'm in San Diego, born and raised, Southern California.
Well, the city that's always room temperature, and I hope you didn't get too much rain this week. Okay, how'd you do with the rain? Let me ask that question first. Any damage or anything?
Thanks for asking. No damage for me, but it is dumping buckets. So my kids all think that they should have the week off of school, and, you know, they're very concerned about it. But so far, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Well, I hope your house is okay, the kids are okay, the schools are okay.
Yes.
You know, I'm all the way across the country from, diagonally across from you in Maine. And first of all, thank you for getting up so early. That's it.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Appreciate it. Okay. And B, yes. I hope everything's all right with it. Did you say it was still raining? It's still raining?
Yeah, it's raining right now. We still have flood warnings. So everyone's just kind of trying to roll with it. I mean, it's good. We want the rain, but our ground doesn't quite know what to do with it. So we're just trying to get through. Yeah, it's been a lot. But yeah, I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. And again, thanks for getting up so early and for doing the show today. And I'm glad everything's okay. All right. Yeah. Tell us, I want to start with two questions, okay? I want to hear the second part, let's hear about Emily. But the first part is, let's hear about Bloom, B-L-U-U-M. Okay.
Sure.
And when I went on your website, okay, it looked to me like you were some kind of, I'm going to put it this way, a consortium where you guys put together programs for school and ed tech. That's what I got out of it. I may be totally off the charts. Tell us what you
got. No.
Yeah, go ahead.
You are right on track. So
good.
We work kind of in between the manufacturers who create all of the products. We, you know, products that are common in classrooms, right? So everything from friendship classroom technology to the devices that students are using to STEM tools. And then we also work with manufacturers of physical security solutions, cybersecurity solutions. And then along with that, we kind of build those offerings into these full solutions that schools can use. So we know that technology on its own isn't going to change anything in the classroom. There's services that are required from adoption services to planning services to white glove and installation integration. So we really work hard to provide that kind of holistic solution to address the challenges that educators are facing and that schools are facing to ultimately impact learning for kids.
Good. So I'm just going to use this as an example. I assume do you guys go to the ISTE conference?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, I'm sure you do. Okay. So although your clients are school districts, I'm just trying to get this in my head and make it clear to everybody, your partners are many of the other companies that are exhibiting.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, over
yeah,
at
that's
ISTE,
right.
As just as an example. The ed tech companies, okay, and you put the package together that would work best for a school district.
So that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly
right. Am I good,
right.
Or, am I good or what? Emily, am I good or what?
You're doing great.
Yeah,
you're right on track. So I think, you know, we will exhibit at ISTE. We also have a big event that we usually host once a year at ISTE. But we, our booth on the expo hall will kind of showcase a lot of the other offerings that you'll see on the expo floor. But we also, our local account executives will meet with their customers and kind of walk them through the expo hall and just kind of help provide that guidance on, you know, okay, here's what you might be seeing when it comes to interactive flat panels, and here's what we recommend based on your existing ecosystem. And so we kind of can provide that, you know, holistic support from start to finish. But, you know, I mean, the most important decisions that districts are making about technology, it's so personal and varies from district to district. So we need to make sure that we understand their existing ecosystem, their needs and challenges, so that we can recommend the products and services that are going to help.
Right. It's good stuff. It's a good idea, you know, just putting everything together. Because school districts, I mean, they all have ed tech departments and all that, but to have somebody walk them through and give them a lot of different choices and put together the right package, it's a nice thing in education, we got to tell you. You guys have been around. How long has it been around, Lou?
Yeah,
I know you've been there
six
years, but hello. Yeah.
I have. Yeah, so we are made up of three other companies who you might have known their names from the kind of legacy organizations. And a couple of years ago, those three companies merged. So it was Troxel, CDI, and Tierney Brothers. Those three companies came together and created this one company that had kind of, we wanted to refresh the mission and vision and kind of leverage that national exposure in order to accomplish those goals.
It's a good idea, I got to tell you, and I like it. You guys started right about 2 years before the pandemic. I was talking to my wife yesterday. We're coming on to March 2024, which means it's been 4 years since the pandemic started.
I
think it gets weird when you think about it like that. And it seems like a million years ago. 4 years isn't so long, but it seems like a million years ago. But in schools, the impact is still there. It's really a phenomenal thing in our history that it happened. Tell us a little bit before we go further about Emily. Okay, you were a teacher, and then you went over to the industry, which I think is great. Just tell everybody about Emily.
Emily. That's me. I'm ready.
That's you.
So I grew up with, like many educators, with a mom who was an educator, an older sister who became an educator. So it's been kind of part of our family story. I think even my grandma was in education. So it's always been kind of central to who I am and what I grew up thinking about and talking about and, you know, finding myself any opportunity that I had to volunteer. I was always in a classroom. And then I spent about 10 years in private and then public education. So it's always been something that's interesting to me, but I think it really turned from an interest into more of a passion in the last school district where I had the opportunity to work, because I saw what an impact education could make for that group of students. So these were students who, you know, spoke a wide range of languages. Roughly 95% didn't speak English at home. A huge percentage of students were, free and reduced lunch or had socioeconomic challenges.
Yep.
And so it just seeing firsthand how education is so integral for those kids to have an opportunity, you know, the same opportunities that we want all students to have. Really was like the catalyst for me, right? That, okay, we have an opportunity here to change lives forever if we do this well, you know? And so now everything in my career is driven by like, how can I have a bigger impact, a bigger impact, a bigger impact? How can I take that passion and you know, infuse it into everything that I do? So that's where Bloom for me is like so exciting. You know, there's a lot of companies with a lot of very powerful mission statements, but to work for a company that really invests and drives towards that mission every day and allows me to invest in the research and the, you know, professional growth to be able to continue to drive towards that is really exciting.
That's a very nice way to put it. And I'll tell you what you described, helping the kids free and reduced lunch. You know, technology, in my opinion, is really the great equalizer. And I'm sure a lot of people understand that, but it really does. It opens the world. Okay. And brings resources into every kid. There's no reason in the world why every kid shouldn't have the same great education to give them all the, and so they can see what's out there, et cetera, which is, 100%. You know, we're part of our company's the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And you get up, and this is a nice thing, you get up every day and you deal with that. Okay.
Yes.
You deal with that.
Yes.
And you make that happen. And I think that's really, 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 really a nice thing that you do. So as you were a teacher now 6 years. Okay. So you were involved with technology and all that. What do you see different now that maybe I'll say then from when you started teaching? Okay. What's the impact of technology and, you know, how have things changed? How are teachers teaching differently? All that. What do you see?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Speak, O mighty philosopher, Emily.
Oh,
speak.
Boy.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Don't
Emma,
get me
ladies
started.
And gentlemen, Emily, the voice of American education, will now define American education for us. Emily Cook, there you go. Go ahead, Em.
I can't even imagine.
You're the vice president of education services over at Bloom. I think I forgot to mention that, but congratulations on a nice job. And support. So what, as you look at this as VP Education Services, you were a teacher, you were trained as a teacher, okay, but it's all changing and it changes rapidly. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing out there? That's where I'm going with that, oh, voice of education.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think obviously a lot has changed, especially over the last 4 years and, you know, with the pandemic and the influx of technology. So, and, you know, part of me feels like I lose all of my teacher cred because I wasn't in the classroom during that time. And so it's like, it's a whole new world. And, you know, fortunately, I work very closely with a team of professional development specialists who are in the field every single day with teachers that are, you know, using this technology. And so we have a lot of feedback that we get from those teachers. So I feel like I have, you know, my ear to the ground in a sense. But
exactly.
So a lot has changed in terms of the hardware that's available, right? And how much access students have to that hardware and the technology. I think something that hasn't changed as much as I would wish that it had is the support for teachers to use the technology in a way that's meaningful for students. And I think that what can happen is we hand technology to teachers thinking, you know, as the district decision makers or as the, you know, technology reseller, we go like, isn't this great? We're going to give these teachers access to virtual reality and the students are going to be standing on the top of a volcano or having this amazing experience. But so often there's not that connection between not just how to use the technology, but really like how can we integrate this into the lessons that we're trying to teach and the pedagogical approaches that we're trying to have. And so I think although there's been huge advances in the access piece to technology, we have a lot of work to do in terms of supporting teachers with effective integration when it comes to that technology.
Well, you're right, and you mentioned that you work with a lot of professional development people every day. So you got your, you know, you got your ear to the grindstone there. What are you hearing from them in terms of what they actually need? Okay,
yeah,
you know, professional development people go in, but what do the teachers actually need these days? And just again, it's, you know, from your end, what you guys hear at Bloom.
Sure.
Tell me what's going on. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we actually survey our teachers before and after, so we have really great data.
Oh, there you go.
And we actually put it together in a report, so I'm happy to share that out. I can make sure that you have access and you can share it with your listeners.
Oh, thank you.
We put together a report of like some of the key findings, what are teachers telling us when they finish a training on what they want more of. And I think there are a couple of things that come up the most. Number one, challenges with like network and technical issues that come up are a huge problem for teachers to use the technology that they get effectively. So that is just something that I think may not make its way to the right decision makers within a district unless we say it out loud in a place like this, because the teachers might raise that concern with their principal and that might go to the curriculum and instruction side. And sometimes we get lost in these silos, right? So just making sure.
Welcome to bureaucracy.
I know, isn't it painful?
Yeah, brutal.
And I think, just before I say, isn't it painful? Also, I really believe from the work that I do that everybody on every single one of these teams is trying so hard to do the right thing.
Exactly.
So I do think that like just the information is so helpful. That's why we think it's important to collect that data. So that's part one. And then part two is they always want more professional development. And I think the thing that they want is not so much how to use the tool. Like you turn it on here and you connect to this device here and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking about interactive flat panels specifically, because there's been a huge influx of those over the years, but more like, how can I use this panel to drive, you know, effective instructional approaches for math? And so really that like content infusion. So some districts have embedded instructional coaches. It's really important that those instructional coaches are connected with the technology department so they know how to leverage that technology. If they don't have embedded coaches, that's something that we have deployed out to districts before. So we will hire and train a full-time person to sit at a district and just support those teachers. But one way or the other, oh yeah, it's very exciting.
Wow.
But one way or the other, we've just got to find a way. Otherwise, you know, those millions and millions of dollars of technology investment, just it's not going to have the impact that we want it to have. And so I think that that piece is really critical.
Yeah, and what you said at the very beginning, you know, we got to be so careful with broadband and networking and all that sort of thing. And it's so hard when that collapses, education stops. And the other thing is that kids need to be connected. And I'm only preaching to the choir and saying what everybody knows. Learning is 24/7 these days.
That's
okay.
Right.
And we got to make sure that every kid, again, rural America, urban America, at times there's challenges. Okay. One kid sharing one computer shared by three kids. Okay, that sort of thing. I mean, it you know, or no broadband out where you live in some holler in Tennessee or something. Okay, and it's just Kentucky, wherever we might be there. Okay, and it's just you know, just hard out there right now. And school districts really have to see the differences. You know, I wanted to ask you about something else, and this is something that's come up recently, and this is all changed over the years. Okay, virtual reality. Okay, augmented reality, esports, which I could go into a whole big spiel about. I'm not so in love with that at this stage of the game, but many people are.
Oh.
I'll tell you, we can talk about that. Okay, robotics, okay. And I'm going to get into safety and security, too, which I think are big administrative concerns. But, you know, when you guys go in, and I know every school district is into robotics, every school district, the virtual or augmented reality, the esports we can talk about. Okay, I know it's big out there. Okay, but talk about when your folks go in, does this stuff come up from the school district side, or does it come up from your side? And how is that all put together? You know, give a couple of examples of that.
Yeah, so absolutely. It comes up all of the time. I think that, I think it's underlying what the challenges are that districts are having right now, right? So there are challenges with enrollment. So if we have some really exciting STEM lab or really exciting esports program, is that going to attract students back to our school? There are challenges with staffing and teacher retention. And, you know, so I think a lot of times, you know, the security certainly is in response to some of the challenges. And so I think a lot of times those initiatives are very exciting and a lot of fun and some really exciting impact that they can have on learning. And we always really encourage our districts to start with the vision and mission and goals. Like, what is it that you're trying to accomplish here? And how are we going to measure if we're accomplishing that goal through this initiative? Because so often before my role as in education services, I was responsible for our STEM and collaborative learning category. So I was helping schools build out maker spaces, right? Which is great. But we all know that there are a lot of very expensive paperweights that sit in maker spaces that don't get used. And so what we have tried to do is not just resell the technology, but actually sit with districts and provide those strategic plans. So you're interested in an esports program, excellent. Let's talk about what you're hoping that it will accomplish. How are we going to measure if that's happening? What does staffing look like? You know, what else are you going to use that room for during the day? You know, all of these kind of things so that when we decide what exact resources we're going to purchase, we already have a reason and a rationale and a justification, and we have a way to make sure that there's ongoing support and measurement along the way. So I think that's kind of our approach when it comes to those larger solutions or initiatives. But I think that's true no matter what technology or, you know, or what space you're talking about. I think so often we get into that allocating resources step without the vision, mission, plans, you know, and then ongoing support. So
don't put the cart before the horse, if I may.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, it's the old story, and it's just the new technology that's working. And I think I hit a nerve when I said I don't like esports very much. Okay. Did that hit a nerve?
Well, no, I'm just curious to learn more. I would love, to know what it is about, you know, what are you hearing that feels like not great for kids?
Yeah, what I don't like about it is the word sports. Okay. And I know it's competitive and all that, so I guess it fits, but what I don't like is some people, it takes the place of physical activity. You know, and we need people to have physical activity. Okay, it's that simple. Especially kids, because they have a lot of energy. There's nothing wrong with thinking. That's what esports is. It's thinking, and I know these kids are good at it. They play the games and all that sort of thing. But the classic complaint, okay, for every parent is that my kid spends too much time in front of a screen. Okay, they really need to go outside. And again, let me just state for everybody, I'm an old fart. Okay. So, I get it. I know it's a changing world out there. I'm not a Luddite, but I just, not sure it's so good for schools to be involved. However, the other side of that coin is they do want kids involved with their schools. They want kids engaged. Yeah. Talk to me. What are you hearing out there, Em? That's my theory about it. You know, I'm two-sided about it. I get it, but I wish there was an alternative, you know?
Yeah. I think the reality is that kids are gaming. Regardless of whether they're good at school or not. And
regardless of what I say, the video stuff's going to take
regardless off. Of what you say, sir. I think that, I mean, I have three of my own boys, and they are showing me very quickly how much time a kid can spend on games.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, I think they are gaming whether they do it at home or at school. And I think that one of the things that really got me over the hump in terms of esports was thinking about what an impact my coaches when I was in high school had on my life, and that extra adult in your life that is telling you got to show up to school on time, and I don't want you getting caught in trouble on the weekends, and you have to get certain grades. For any group of kids to have that extra voice in their life and that extra accountability, so that they're and because they're excited to do this cool initiative, I think it's a good thing. It doesn't mean that I think that they, you know, I'm not making any statements about whether or not they should also do a PE course or whatever. That's not my game to fight. But I think when I think about individual kids who may not otherwise feel super connected to school, if we can give them a way to feel connected and want to show up early and want to show up on time and get good grades, I'm into it. That's sort of where I land.
Well said, Miss Cook. Well said. I got to tell you, it was. And again, I agree it's important for the kids to be engaged with school. And if this helps doing that, I think it's great because the kids are gaming anyway. But it's just so much screen time, especially when not today in San Diego, but 99% of the days it's gorgeous and sunny and 75 degrees.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And
no,
you know, 100%. So, yeah, you get it. You know, that's the old man talking here. The old man side of it talking. You know, what can I tell you?
There's really amazing programs that have, you know, where the coaches are talking to their kids about, you know, overall, just like any coach would, right? Overall health and well-being and like what that looks like, what nutrition looks like and what being active. Like, so, you know, if you think about it as part of this larger coaching experience, I think we have an opportunity. Just because they're going to spend an hour on esports in the afternoon does not mean that they can't spend other hours of their day outside, you know, getting activity and all of that. So I just don't think it's one or the other. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I want to figure out how we can connect kids to their learning. And there's so many really cool curricular overlaps and so many great things. So I think that the good outweighs, you know, the potential challenges. And I think we can build out, you know, plans to address those challenges so that we don't have to trade the activity.
Well said. And it goes back to what you said earlier, you know, if there's so much gaming and all that going on in the schools, which is, let's just say it's fine, which it is, obviously it's happening. Okay. We got to have the network and the broadband to back it up.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Can you imagine if you're playing the game and all of a sudden it goes, bleep, that's the end, you know,
I mean, yeah. And that's where that, like the planning comes in. So important. People think, okay, I've got to invest in these really fancy high powered computers, and then they don't have a network to back it up. And so they're stuck, you know, I mean, so it's just putting together that holistic solution that is absolutely critical as folks start to think about, you know, how they want to roll that type of initiative out.
Yeah, it's so changed, certainly since I was in education school, which was Plato, and that was a long time ago, and it was just crazy. You know, it really has changed. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and you guys must be hearing about this over at Bloom, and this is the administrator's lament is cybersecurity. Okay, with all the, I just heard the sigh. Okay, that's
yeah.
Talk about that side of it and what you're hearing on that side.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a huge concern. I think one of the first things that we try to acknowledge in any of these conversations is that it's not an IT director concern or superintendent concern. It's really a whole organizational concern. Every single person within
like
the organization, students, teachers, site administrators,
like
everybody has a part of this. And I think, you know, thinking about it in terms of policies, practices, and then products is really important. So when all of the cybersecurity, you know, when all this new technology was going out into schools, we had a lot of questions about individual products that could help support cybersecurity. And the way that we are really encouraging districts and schools to think about it is as the holistic solution. So we have to make sure that we have policies and plans in place should there be a cybersecurity breach. We know that educational institutions are one of the most often breached or, you know, subject of cyber attacks. And if you think about it, it makes sense because we have precious student data and then we have a zillion endpoints with all sorts of different people using them. And it's hard to make sure that those practices are in place that are keeping that data safe. So I think it, you know, thinking about like what is our plan in place in case we do have a cybersecurity breach? Do we have that those business continuity plans and incident response plans? So that's kind of part A. Part B is the practices. So like making sure that teachers know their part in cybersecurity, students know their part in cybersecurity, and of course those district level administrators understand kind of their part in keeping things safe. But it is absolutely, and then of course finally product, like where are the gaps, what do we need to make sure that, you know, we have in place. Most people's insurance is requiring them to have a level of cybersecurity planning in place and resources, and so, you know, what your insurance requires is going to be a really good guide in terms of where to start. But if that's something, you know, that's obviously something that we're happy to provide consultation on if folks need it. And we have some guides and things that we can share out. So it's a huge challenge, but it's also not impossible to address. You know, there are some really practical.
Well, we have to address it.
Steps.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. But it's not out, you know, it's not impossible. I think we got this one. I think we can do it.
Well, we do, and we learn as we go along. You know, unfortunately, there are hackers out there. There are criminals out there.
Yeah.
Okay, there are lunatics out there, all right, if I may. And we got to protect ourselves from them, and it's just so darn important. So, you know, I have to say, as we wind down here, Emily, you've used the word a couple of times, and I like the way Bloom is approaching this. It's a holistic approach. Mm. Okay, you're not going in with one piece of equipment. You're not going in with one idea. You know, you're trying to get them get it grounded from the very beginning, okay, mm-hmm. and make sure that the whole system works. And what you said a few minutes ago about cybersecurity was important. We tend to lay that, okay, on the district's ed tech department, but every mm-hmm. teacher has to understand they can't just download every app in the world, okay,
right.
because that app may be a bad app, as an example, okay? Most teachers mm-hmm. are learning that, but everybody makes a mistake. Okay, and the system has to be, you know, has to be able to take care of it, and the kids have to understand that too, as does the community. And this stuff costs money, so you want to get it right. If I may, I'll use your word, holistically. Okay,
mm-hmm.
rather than start playing whack-a-mole with your ed tech technology. You know, you solve one problem, another one pops up. Okay, that's no fun, and nobody should ever name an ed tech company Whack-a-Mole Incorporated. It just won't work. Don't do that.
So
if you were thinking of
today.
It, don't do that. Yeah, not a bad idea, though. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it is a good idea. Okay, we'll solve each problem.
As it comes.
Yeah.
That's
this
funny.
Is great. Emily, it's nice to know you. Thank you so much for being
so
here
good
today.
To meet you. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. What a joy.
I hope you had a good time, and I'm bringing a body. Remember that umbrella you bought that you put away in the garage?
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
We'll look for it. Thank you, sir.
I know. I hope you don't get any flooding or anything like that. It's crazy week in California.
It.
Okay? Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was nice. Nice lady, nice company. I love that. That's Emily Cook. Emily, almost said Emily Blunt. No, it's not. That's the actress. Emily Cook is the VP of Ed Services at Bloom, B-L-U-U-M, and I do have it linked up here. Interesting company, and I found it interesting from the get-go. A consortium, a catalyst, okay, for ed tech. It's interesting stuff. Check it all out if you want to. All right. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We'll archive everything over at ace-ed.org and have a great, and I hope a dry day.
Welcome to Western National Insurance, where nice is a little word that does big things for everyone. Nice is our legacy, and it's been guiding our business for over a century. Ready to experience the power of nice for yourself? Ask your agent for Western National. Welcome to Western National Insurance, where nice is a little word that does big things for everyone. Nice is our legacy, and it's been guiding our business for over a century. Ready to experience the power of nice for yourself? Ask your agent for Western National.